Thank you. Okay, let me see that. And amen. Let's be seated and be reverent. Maybe God will talk to somebody's heart this morning. Our brothers at the end there, you may be having small disturbance. Please bear with us. The children are sharing the hall with us because the men fellowship have taken over their hall. The hall that they refuse to build. They have taken over the hall that they refuse to build. They drove the landlords away. So they are fixing it for the luncheon. Please bear the presence of those children. They may be making small noise there. But those noise, we shall turn into Holy Ghost noise in Jesus' name. So that it will not disturb you. Amen. As we sang this last song, say, see if there be any wicked way in me, and cleanse me. Praise the Lord. The question that came to my mind is, can a wicked person not know that he's wicked? Why will God be the one to reveal to you that you are wicked? But the truth is, the wicked don't know that they are wicked. They think that that is a normal lifestyle. That is where the mystery of iniquity is. That somebody is suffering because of you and you are happy that you have made the person to suffer. You can imagine that somebody's suffering is making somebody to be happy. That is the mystery. A normal person cannot see another human being suffering and you'll be happy. And wants it to see that you are the one causing the person not to be happy. That's the mystery of iniquity. Somebody else is crying that somebody is suffering. And the person that is making the person to suffer, he is happy. That's why there are two groups of people on earth. Or you may even understand why the Bible speaks about some people's hearts. Seared with a hot iron. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward. I've been saying this, and I will continue to say it, that God will help us. God will answer my heart desire that this church will be known in heaven as a true church. That's my heart desire. That this Bride Assembly Church will be known in heaven, not among human beings, so in heaven, because human beings will never like people who want to stand for truth. That heaven will recognize this church as a true church. That is my heart desire. And to achieve that, I know it's not going to be easy. And please, let Satan know that I know it is not going to be easy. And let Satan know that I know that you will come. In fact, you have come. But let me tell you, you will not succeed. Amen. Once a ministry starts and there is light in it, Satan starts agenda on it. Start to scatter it. If you cannot scatter it, then you will quench the light. Then before you know what, you become a social group. Having a marriage of convenience. Applying human wisdom to keep the people together. Even they sign agreements to work together. They take oaths to work together. And they don't longer walk by the Bible. They will now walk by the constitution of the church. So that when one is broken, the other party will go to court. Christianity has shamelessly come to that level. Where is Assemblies of God now? I as I'm speaking. That church that came hot in Nigeria, everybody knows the history of Assemblies of God. They were priding themselves as the hottest Pentecostal church. But where are they today? Factions, leadership tussle. And one group is in one court, another group is in another court, and then they are fighting shamelessly. It's only in Africa you see that type of thing. Have you ever seen any head of state, minister, or anything resign because of principle? You see? Didn't you see the Prime Minister of Britain? We should remain in EU. The voted majority said we should not be there because he believes they should be in EU. He knows that there's conflict of interest. So he said he's there for his resigning. But for African God, you can't see that happen. That's why when former President Jonathan, you know, gave in, everybody said, maybe Jonathan, now God. Because it is not usual. In Africa, they don't give up. They will fight to any level. And when you come to church, that spirit has even entered churches, but it can never enter Brother Assembly. The simplest thing that can ever do is to drop microphone and take off and go somewhere else. That is the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the simplest thing that can happen to me without even praying over it. Oh, come and see that. Let anybody, it can't even happen in this place. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What I'm trying to tell is how churches have turned from real church to social gathering. And I was hearing some time ago, Pastor Chris Church at Ojo. I want to beg you, if for any reason you don't feel yourself comfortable here, try Ojo Church. Go there. Anytime you don't feel comfortable in this church, try Ojo Church. Amen. That young man wants to go to heaven. And people who want to go to heaven, they say, where they do their ministry. He was telling me some time ago, sometime last year or so, how that, you know, in that church, you can't commit fornication and enter. But in this church, then they commit fornication and they enter. So that church is better than this one. That church, you can't gossip somebody behind another church member come and take communion. You will die. If you are looking for a living church, you don't feel comfortable here. I'm advertising a place. Because I'm interested in you going to heaven. I'm showing you. Just as I talk the bad one, I mention their name. The good one, I know, I go talk the name. I am not gathering you to follow me. I'm gathering you to go to heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In this church, people, they finish you behind and they say, brother, I love you. Sister, I love you. Then when I go take communion service, it happened for this church. So I have told God, Lord, bring back that angel that was in the church of Ananias and Sapphira to come here. And may he come in the name of Jesus. At that time, now we're going to say, we go to church. When you notice some people for church, you go, no, why you don't come? You don't need vision. You don't commit. Until it's settled, we go before you go enter here. That is how a true church must be. So that when I tell you I love you, it will be from my heart. And if I know I have anything against you, I will face you and I will tell you face to face. And two of us, we shall settle it. We must not do politics in the church. Why you see me, I've been very angry recently, is some people who were in this church with me for years. Some sisters. Popular sisters. Go to their Facebook and see what they are displaying now that they are no more here. So all along they were here, they were caged. They were living hypocritical life. I watch some of them who have been here all these years, and then when they leave, they set up ministries. See the type of ministry they are setting up. Somebody will go through this church, and all he knows is that you are serving God for what you will eat. In this church, for this church, where do you get the spirit from? Since I came to this church, what have I acquired? Me, the pastor. Serving here in this ministry for 17 years, what will you say I have acquired from being in this ministry? Materially. So why will people working with me leave or serve here for all the week? May God sweep all of them out of this church in the name of Jesus. If they are still remaining here. If they are still remaining here. Amen. Devil just brought them to think they want to disgrace me. Then they are calling me from all over the world. Ah, is it not this sister? Then I don't know what to say. Is it not this brother? Then I don't know what to say. That is Satan trying to strike me. To make it look as if I'm a failure. I am never a failure. I know people who want to go to heaven, they are here. How many of them are here? Thank you. And they are not only here, they are all over the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we talk about going home? Eh? Where is your home? Are you building your home there or building your home here? Let's talk about going home. Stand up. Let's pick our text. Matthew 24. We continue with part 2 of what I started 2 weeks ago before we traveled. Watching for his coming is the title. Part 2. And this is what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24. And verse 36. And then verse 42, 43, 44. And we sit down. Matthew 24 and verse 36. For a text. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief will come, he would have watched. I will not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. And the last time we started this topic, watching for his coming, I was trying to emphasize, and I'm still going to emphasize, what do we watch? We watch unbelievers are talking about the end of the world, looking at Nostradamus predictions. The Catholics and Christians, denominational Christians generally, they are watching the prophecies of Saint Malachi. Concerning the popes. They are watching when this last pope comes in, then the end will come according to Saint Malachi. The followers of the minister of William Branham, they are looking at the 7 predictions that William Branham gave, those 7 visions that he gave, that the Lord, according to him, showed him. That when this come to pass, then the end will come. And one of the things that will happen, the last 2 predictions remaining, or prophecies remaining, are the bomb that blew up in America, and the woman that rises up in great power to lead America. And we are watching keenly to see whether it is Hillary Clinton now, who has been nominated as party's presidential candidate in America, the elections that are coming up in November this year in America, And particularly those who claim leadership in the followings of the ministry of William Branham, known as the End Time Message Believers, some have jumped ahead already to begin to teach that the end has truly come because of Hillary Clinton. They believe that being the first presidential candidate woman, that she will win. And if she wins, then the end has come. But I quickly want to let you know, praise the Lord, that I am watching beyond the prophecies of William Branham. And that is exactly what I am trying to emphasize. Praise the Lord. Take note. Let me drop something. And let this be your guide. There is a marriage that is going on now between Christ and his bride. And that marriage is a spiritual marriage. The invisible union, William Branham preached, the invisible union of the earthly bride and the heavenly bridegroom was the title of that sermon topic. He said it is invisible. The invisible union of the earthly bride and the heavenly groom. And the earthly bride is this church, and the heavenly groom is the Lord Jesus himself. And why did he say it is invisible? Because it is not the type of marriage that we see going on between husband and wife, boy and girl here on earth that everybody sees. This is invisible. It cannot be seen physically. It is seen by revelation. It is a spiritual union. And that marriage is for the first time. That is why the bride stands out clearly. It is a marriage of a group of people, believers, with Christ the Word. It is a marriage of the believers with the Word. The identity of the bride in this age is a marriage with the Word. It starts with the Word. Christ is the Word of God made flesh. Come back to the Word is the restoration ministry. And the marriage begins with you uniting yourself with the Word. Until you are able, the identity of the bride is that we fall in love with the Word. And it is only when you stay with the Word that you can truly receive proper sanctification. The bearing from earth to glory is in the Word. And when I say the Word, praise the Lord, it is deep. Because every Christian believes in the Word. But how many of them are married to the Word? When you are married to the Word has her final say. You won't argue with the Word. It's important you take note of that. Because the people sitting down here, and what is attracting them to this ministry may not be the Word. And if you don't, you will never be part of what God is doing now. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We will come to that. Let's go on. Daniel chapter 9. Well, I was making a comment. Sorry, let me finish that comment. That we as believers, because we are married to the Word, when the Bible says we should watch and pray, what are we watching? We are watching from this Bible. What does the scripture say? Whatever the visions God gave William Branham, whatever among them, Nostradamus, St. Malachi, they are all witnesses to the soon coming of the Lord or for the definite coming of the Lord. He will surely come. Even astrologers, because that is who Nostradamus is. even among the unbelievers, God revealed that this war will end. And how or when it will end. If they will not believe the Bible, he has made it available in their midst for a witness. Catholics, uncle, he raised a man among them. Because they will not believe what is written in the Bible here, the Catholics. He raised a man among them to point that out. And we also are the called out ones, believers of the end time message. God has also given us reason to see that the end is closer than we know or we think. Why all this? So that the wise will understand. And how do I know you understand? Your state of preparedness determines how you have understood. And so that is why we pick a character, for instance, in the Bible, Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. From verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, see where I am going, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And Daniel is a type of the bride. Praise God. Daniel is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. There is always somebody listening to me for the first time. That's why some of the things you have heard before, when I have reason to, I will re-emphasize them. Because there is always somebody listening to me for the first time. I have said this several times about who Daniel is. Daniel, they were in the Babylonian captivity. That Jeremiah had prophesied earlier, God spoke to Israel that they turned down his ordinance of keeping the land Sabbath. They forgot the laws of God, became disobedient. And for 70 Sabbaths, 70 Sabbaths, they refused to observe 70 consecutive Sabbaths, facing whatever else they loved to face. And the judgment of God came upon them. For each Sabbath you refuse to keep for the land, according to the law he gave through Moses, you will be in captivity for each Sabbath will be 1 year. And that is why they were in captivity for 70 years. The condition that they were in, something happened for them to be in that estate of bondage, slavery, anguish, and all the torture they were undergoing, lost their identity, lost their land, lost everything. But there was a prophecy that went forth that sent them into that estate. Now, Daniel is a type of the bride, the church of Jesus Christ, that started on the day of Pentecost, that produced the grace that we are enjoying today. Something happened that got us into the state that the church is today, broken and fragmented into denominations, into all the groups. This group disagree with it, this group agree with this, and then the church that was full of power, now that was standing aside. Church means called out ones. We are supposed to be called out from the world, as the church in the wilderness was called out of Egypt. But now, hallelujah, the church in the wilderness has remembered garlic and cucumber that they were enjoying in captivity. They opened the way. They joined themselves to Baal. They joined themselves in the wilderness to idol worshiping. Even they, like Ahab and the rest, they married Jezebel. They got married to the same group of people they were supposed to be called out from. And before you know what, you cannot tell whether this is Philistines or this is Israel. They were mingled together. The church of Jesus Christ mingled together with the world they are supposed to have been called out from. Now you enter the church, you don't know whether you are in a Rotary club, you are in a social club, or you are in a night club, or you are truly in the holy place, the holy ground, in a church of the Lord God Almighty. There is no more difference. The world has entered the church, and everything the world is doing, we are doing it in the display of fashion, in the display of every carnality, every worldliness now has entered the church and taken over. But there was a Daniel. That is the emphasis. Now, although he was in captivity, he knew that this captivity cannot be forever. That is my emphasis. Daniel knew that we cannot be in this estate forever. And then one time, in his frustration, hallelujah, that means even though he was in there, his mind was still in his promised land. Even though the church has gone so worldly, and when I say worldly, I mean worldly. This Satan, no wonder the Bible said the day God will reveal him to us. He said everybody will look. So this is that spirit. So now it be this. Everybody will come and look. The Bible says so. So this is the one that has troubled the whole world. Now you be this. I would like to carry my phone and snap him in heaven. I don't know whether there will be telephones there. Because all the satellites would have been destroyed. All the satellites, everything would have been destroyed on the day of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. One day somebody will see that demon. That demon. Once there is a move, when the ministry of William Branham started, it was a serious revival. I'm even going far. John Wesley brought holiness. Serious revival. Serious one. I'm going even too far. Let's come home. Look at Deeper Life when they started. Anytime it happens, there are always people that are yearning. We should not be in this condition. We should not be in this condition. And once God can get somebody that will say, we cannot be in this condition like Gideon, he will come and say, go in this dynamite. He called Kumui. And you saw the revival. It was a holiness revival. It was a holiness revival. Praise the Lord. And God came down and confirmed that. But as soon as they broke into the denominational settings, because Satan will always go to break it into that same setting. Each time you denominate the move of God, God leaves you to use your idea and continue. For he is no respecter of persons. It happened like that. And when God found a man, William Branham stood and said, this move now will not be denominated. With all the vindications, with all the anointing, with the depth of revelation, which branch did he have? Which title did he bear? Which woman did he ordain? Where was the position of his wife in his ministry? He said that his thus said the Lord. He said, this is the last move, therefore it will not be denominated. But when he was saying that, Satan was looking at him. Okay, if it will not be denominated, I know how to kill the move. And I told you about the enemies of revival. One of it, which God warned him. And it's not just warning him. It's warning every one of us. Every one. Although, this is, some of these things I say, supposed to be for the minister, but some ministers somewhere will also hear what I'm saying. The ones in this church, they have had enough. Anyone that goes contrary to what we preach here, just know that it's only going the way it is written of him. But he will not be guilty of not hearing. Praise the Lord. Listen, church, as soon as this William Branham ministry started, God told him, watch these three things. Money. women and popularity that produces pride. That is pride. Money. And was God telling only William Branham? He was telling all of us. That's why William Branham had to come and said it. And it's on many tapes that he preached. Money. Popularity. That is pride. And women. If a man of God can be free from these three, then he is 60% on the way. Because we still have the remaining 40%. The 40% now include doctrine. And also include his own Christian character. Because you may not like money. Money may not catch you. Guys, covetousness may not be your identity. Woman, you may not be a fornicator. And you may be very, very humble. And yet, you may not be a Christian. So it's deeper than that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We know better, oh, we know better. Hallelujah. When this ministry started, this is what the Lord told me. Clear, we never forget that day. He said, anybody that will try, any minister that will try to denominate this message, he said, I will personally supervise the frustration of that ministry. And I knew he was warning me. I didn't know where he was going to take my ministry to. And from that day, I began to study what is the meaning of denomination so that I will know whether I'm denominating or not. What is the identity of the denomination? Praise the Lord. I have tried by all means. And I'm still trying. And I will succeed in this one because age is catching up on me too now. Woman. The older the ministry goes, the older me too I become. So, and I don't know, they cause old man to go after smugglers, even morally. Because when you want to chase one smuggler, you remember this is the age of my daughter. Can't make another do this nonsense. That is one advantage of old age. The money. Amen. Money. God has also helped me very much in that area. Amen. Up to this morning, I was talking with my wife. We were preparing to come to church. Something happened. I don't know what we were saying. Something happened, and we were wondering how certain people chase certain things when they are now in certain positions. And then she was saying that the reason is that so when you see a woman, for instance, chasing buy cloth, any cloth, want to buy. He said, look at her background. When she was growing up, cloth was her problem. She didn't have enough cloth. So now, when she now has position, any cloth, he could get her. Any cloth, he could get her to make room for what she lost when she was small. Those who grew up either from poor background or from some slavery, they served somebody who will clothe them with bend down and clothe their children with designer clothes. You know, there are some people that do that. He said, when those ones come, then I said, but not true. Then I told her, I said, but look at me. What do you think is my passion? What do you think I'm crazy about? And she said it to the glory of God. She said, you, your own, you are not materialistic now. You know, they chase any material thing. I said, thank God. And then I asked her, but what do you think is my passion in life? And she's there, she's hearing me. And she told me that I discovered that you are just a philanthropist. You just like to help people. And I said, that is true. That is what gives me joy. Praise the Lord. So with such a person now, be pursuing, chasing. I want people to know why God made me pastor of a church like this. And the devil has been struggling and fighting. This is the only church where you won't see ministers fighting over anything here. Because in this church, there's nothing we have to share. No, that's the truth. There's nothing we have here to share where you will say, Pastor Moses, monkey they walk, baboon they chop. So there's nothing like that. And it was deliberately designed that way. All of us, including myself, this church gives us monthly allowance. So sometimes when they ask me, my junior sister is here. When she called me, she needs something, I'll say, when they pay me my salary at the end of the month. He said, you'll be pastor now. I say, I don't blame you. Praise God. I was with my friend in Abuja during the week. And then he's a retired general. And then we were just looking backward at our life. And I had to tell him. I say, you know, he's one of those that God raised in my moments of trials to be helping me. And he didn't know I had a church that was as big as this. Each time, and then thank God too, he didn't have the cable. So he didn't know anything about our ministry. This piano we are using here, he bought it for us. He just said, call me one time and say, let me give you a Christmas blessing while he was still in office. And then we went and priced it $570,000. And then he released the money and we bought it. He was the one that told us about the piano. He said, there's a particular, he gave us the name. We went and looked for it. Now, I told him something. I said, that do you know? Now he is aware because in his village, everybody in the village that they know me and him, they call us twins. Everybody in the village, it is this Bright TV they watch. But before he could get there, this TV is just 3 years old. But before that, he was here. I never one day invited him to come to my church. And I didn't make a big deal. They have their program. He was commanding this rehabilitation center. This Armed Forces Rehabilitation. They were passing out, the graduates were passing out. He called me 1 year that I should come and preach to the graduates. He told me later that the pastor of the parish came to him and said, what would they package for this visiting minister? He told me. He told them, I'll not be that kind of pastor, this one Bill. If you give him anything here now, he will not take. No, inside my mind, I say, you forgive me first, then make I reject. Praise God. But at least that spells out the fact that he knows that I am not preaching to get money. And I thank God for that, but he forgive me, now make I reject him by myself. Listen, church. One day, he went to my house and they told him that I am in the church. My wife, instead of my wife to stop him, he said, not the church, Sam. I never go there. Make I go see him. Now the man entered this compound. Wow, Alu. Wow, big place like this. I say, yes, inside my heart, I say, I am finished. I am finished. I am finished. I was reminding him, I said, from that day till now, shishi, you never give me again. As somebody that has called me, dashed me 2 million naira, dashed me $5,000, dashed me $6,000, regularly. From that day till today, I was telling him, till today, I hear him and he said, hey, I didn't know that place was big like that now. Praise the Lord. So now he has been disturbing me. He wants us to install the thing for him. Now I say, well, anyway, I believe that means God has finished using you for me. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says we should be as wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. If you say, I refuse to convert my friend, now you shall be that one. God was converted at the appropriate time. Hallelujah. So concerning materialism, I am not. Concerning pride, that is the one I am fighting every day. Because as a military officer, The virtue of our training, this is an army colonel.
Abi?
Are we not?
Yes, sir.
We are trained to be proud.
Exactly, sir.
They call it officer life quality.
Yes, sir.
It's to be proud. For instance, an officer cannot go to Mami Market to sit down and drink beer.
It's not possible,
sir. It's not possible. It's not possible. If they see you, it's a court martial offense. They call it conduct, prejudice to military
discipline.
Conduct, prejudice to military discipline. At our own time, it was Section 73, right?
Yes, sir.
It's still Section 73. We know that one. Of the Army Act. Now, listen. I am saying this. And with that type of thing in my spirit, I'll be afraid. When I want to take certain action, I will say, don't be soldier, you're there now, in the church. It happens. So we are battling to make sure that we are as humble as anything so that the ministry will not be affected. But I am telling you something, that this demon has been working on human beings for the past 6,000 years. He knows how to pull down everyone. That's why Apostle Paul said, he who thinks he stands, take it lest he fall. And I'm telling you, it's very easy to fall. Satan knows how to minister to you that you are a failure. Satan knows how to minister to you that you have not succeeded in your ministry because you have no physical acquisition. You have no husband. You have no wife. You have no house. You have no car. You have no this, and you say you are following Christ. Which type of God? Which one are you serving? I begin to compare you with your mates who have actually fallen from grace. They're acting like people who are enjoying grace. That is Satan for you. Before you know why, you begin to speak evil, curse yourself for what you stand for. That are some of the things. When you say, watch and pray, you don't know the hour he's coming. How will you watch? Daniel! The Bible says, while in that estate, how will he know? We will not be like this forever. Let's go back to the books. The Bible says he understood by books. Study to show thyself approved. A workman that need not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And it is recorded that by that time that Daniel went, when was the prophecy given that brought us into this captivity? The prophecy said 70 years. When did Nebuchadnezzar come to the land and took us in captivity? So date. And he began to count, where are we now? And by the time he calculated, he discovered of the 70 years, they had spent 68 years. So Daniel knew the time of their captivity, when it will be over. But others, they were there in Babylon, sitting down relaxed, living their life as if they will be there forever. Nobody was thinking of going home again. Brethren, our home is in heaven. I got to prepare a place for you. That place is not your village. That place is not the estate you are building on earth here. It is a home in heaven. Hallelujah. And he went to prepare that place on the cross of Calvary. He settled that matter on the cross of Calvary and made a way. After now, we are going to collect the keys to our homes. Place. Church, listen. 68 years have been spent. Remaining 2 years. What type of Jew will Daniel be in Babylon? That is the estate the bride of Jesus Christ must be now. From a knowledge, having studied the books. Which books? The Bible. Concerning the coming of the Lord, his coming, his first coming, prophesied in the Bible. And he came exactly as is written of him. His second coming is also in the Bible. And his coming exactly as is written of him. Therefore, where are you supposed to watch for the coming of the Lord? Watch the Bible. What does the Bible say concerning his coming? And these things that should be common among Christians, they have been relegated, and everybody is focusing on acquiring land in Babylon when our homegoing time is near. Not too many people can preach this. Praise God. They have taken attention of the people to material acquisition. Why do you think assemblies of God, they are quarreling? Is it about doctrine? Is it doctrine? It's not doctrine. It's who we lead. It's position. Can you imagine that at this late hour? Praise the Lord. Do you know that some churches even go to Babalawo? They go to Babalawo. That's how you will know who is who. To chase another pastor away. If he cannot break the church into two and carry his own. But he can't even carry his own and go because there are assets the church owns that he wants to also be in control. That is why they go to court. If not, okay, let us settle out of court. What is settlement out of court? Okay, you take this, I take this. I have not had churches quarreling because of doctrine. Why do you say that Jesus has come when he has not come? Why do you say there is no more rapture? Why do you say Jesus is not God? Because of that, we no agree. We leave you. Nobody is also, you know, trying to fight that the pastor is a fornicator, is an adulterer. And we are asking him to step down. And he's refusing. Nobody, I've not seen such fight. No. It is always, it is now my time for us to share. And then they do politics, looking for who we support and who we support and who. In the church of Jesus Christ. It is not them doing it, though. It is a spirit, that same old serpent. But the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, it shall not, because it cannot prevail. Our Jesus is not asleep. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What are we supposed to watch out for? Daniel gave us a key. Amen. That we should study the word. And we are watching it. We are not only watching prophecies of prophets in this age, like William Branham and even St. Malachi. We are going to look at the scriptures too. Because God is not coming according to William Branham, according to any man. I mentioned the other day, so many of us are looking at 7 years of grace. And some are interpreting that Sister Nenna said after 7 years the rapture will take place. She didn't say so. Grace is grace. After that, anything can happen. And includes the shaking of the shakables that will take place. Things that will begin to manifest that will shock so many of us, both within the local churches and internationally. Things will begin to happen. He's given 7 years of grace for people to adjust. And within this period, the true God called men will be sounding stronger and stronger than before. Oh yes, within these 7 years, the messages we shall be preaching will be messages that will make people look inward and give them reason to repent. For after these 7 years, it may be too late. The door may be closed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because in checking out time, checking in time for every aircraft, every journey you want to travel by air, there is checking in time. The counter closes But the aircraft has not taken off yet. It may still remain more than 1 hour after, before the aircraft will take place, but the check-in counter closes to people trying to check in. They leave them there wondering, no matter what you say. Sometimes they stand there and they are looking at empty counter. Nobody is there to attend to them. But here is my flight ticket. But here is my flight ticket. Here is my flight ticket. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I checked in. I have booked in. Then what have you been doing since? When others came, were you not told the time you should come to check in? While you are arguing outside, there something else is going on with those who have checked in. There is another checking in that is checking that is going on. That checking is security check. Praise the Lord. It is a security check. Hallelujah. To make sure that you are entering that aircraft safely. You are not taking any forbidden thing into it. Hallelujah. It is called the rapturing faith. The faith that makes you drop every worldly things. And that will come at the sounding of the seven thunders. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we see a perfect example of it in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. The parable of the marriage feast. Verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Who is that son? Jesus is the son. The king is the Lord of glory, the father of Jesus. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they will not come. Sent John the Baptist to go and prepare the way for him. They will not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, the disciples, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. They killed all those disciples. Killed all those early believers that were preaching, repent, the kingdom of God has come. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. Verse 7. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their cities in AD 70. Jerusalem was destroyed because they rejected him. That city is Jerusalem. Those murderers are those Jews. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which we are bidding, we are not worthy, the Jews. He came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Go ye therefore, verse 9, into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Many, that is the Gentiles. That is how salvation came to the Gentiles. And you and I are enjoying that grace today. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Like me and some of you here who are drunkards. I've seen prostitutes give their life to Christ in this church. I've seen drunkards repent. I've seen cultists repent. And I've seen very moral people add Christ to their morality. All. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Everybody is saying, I am bride, I am bride, I am bride. And when the king came in to see the guests, this parable is explaining something. He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. I said unto him, friend, what did he call him? What did he call him? That means they had a relationship. Do you understand? It's not somebody that came from Bia Palo. It was not a prostitute sitting down there. If you call him friend, that means there was a relationship. That means he also got the invitation letter, invitation card, the IV, he received it. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? Because the condition for being in that marriage is a wedding garment. There is a specification of the wedding garment. Can you go to Revelation chapter 19? Put your finger there. We are coming back there. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 7, 8, and 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. See the garment now? See the wedding garment? There's a specification for this wedding garment, church. You can't come wearing anything you like. Your identity has been specified. And he will not take anything less. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. If he says the true sayings of God, is that he will not accept anything less from a fine linen material, clean and white, spotless. Black can hide stains. Even red color can hide stains. But white, you cannot hide a stain. You're a liar, it will show. You're a fornicator, it will show. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you go back to Matthew 22, where we are reading. Amen. Verse 12 again. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? What did he say? He was what? He could not answer. He was speechless. He could not answer. He was speechless. Because he knows he shouldn't have won this. That means he was aware of the condition of that marriage. To be a guest in that ceremony, everybody was told how to appear. So there was a dress code. So which excuse will you give, bride assembly members? On that day, which excuse will you give? And recently, as I try to study the scriptures, I've been very worried. Who will I say is this guest, this man that was a friend of Jesus? And so much until he followed to the wedding feast. But he did not have the wedding garment. Who is this person? Because every parable is explaining salvation. The groups of people. Now, first and foremost, it means this person was a believer. This person was, he came out to also meet the bridegroom. So when I look at it, I concluded that is a type of the foolish virgin. This is where I see a confirmation of the foolish virgin. And you may argue and pick your foolish virgin everywhere, anywhere, anyhow else. You may say they are in the denomination, they are where they are where. Me, I see him in Matthew 22. See him there. He was among them. And because it was later when the man, the governor of the feast, came, that he really realized how stupid he has been. So he was foolish. That you will follow. Didn't you see the rest, how the rest were dressed? Didn't you know your Esther that you could not come like that? The rest had the oil. You didn't have the oil. You had enough oil to follow them. But you did not have enough oil to dress like they dressed. You were foolish. And see what happened in the last verse, chapter 22. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Then said the king to the servants. What did he say? Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Bind him and cast him to outer darkness. He will be in the tribulation. He will enter in the tribulation. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He will be regretting his foolishness. He will regret it for what pain he will go through. When he will have escaped and go with us. See him now going through the tribulation. But he was a friend of Jesus. So we see him paying with his blood for his foolishness. But he makes it. He also resurrects. And he comes in the millennium. But why do you have to go through that difficulty? It's because you didn't know what is required of you to be in the rapture. Therefore, if I were you, my emphasis will not be watching the prophecies being fulfilled. Prophecy of William Branham, prophecy in this. I will be watching my wedding garment. How am I ready to go? That is why your emphasis should be, don't watch Hillary Clinton. Look at the books and see the requirement. Look at the books and see the requirement. When Daniel noticed that it is remaining 2 years, the next thing was, he began to think, what did we do that brought us into this mess? The next thing that followed was, he began to pray and began to ask God for mercy. And began to confess the sins of the people. Father, have mercy. It is what we did that brought us to this estate. We have forsaken you. We have done this. He began to confess his sin. Set himself in prayer. Listen, church. Praise God. The hour that we are in now calls for self-examination. Make your own calling and election. Sure. The last verse said, for many are called, few are chosen. Bride of Jesus Christ, worldwide, wherever you are, the gospel has been presented in a way that instead of personalizing it, you are looking at it as a group following, as a following. I am following the ministry of William Branham. That is evidence of the Holy Ghost. And you are living a dirty lifestyle. Unforgiveness is in the church. Gossip is in the church. Covetousness is in the church. Selfishness is in the church. Lusty spirit is in the church. All manner of hypocrisies is in the church. And yet they are carrying Bible. They are speaking in tongues. Some of them are even pastors preaching the gospel. Yet, that heaven they are talking about, they are far from it as east is from the west. We are watching for his coming. When he said, watch and pray, what are you watching? Watch your personal life. Even though you'll be getting rotten and you are preaching mysteries. If I have all mysteries, I know all mysteries, Apostle Paul said, and I have no charity, how has it profited me? You know Godhead, you know serpent seed, how has it made you a Christian? Let's bow down our heads. I want somebody to redirect your spiritual life from today. I want somebody to and be sincere to yourself. Am I really ready for his coming? Am I really ready for his coming? If anything I say here is true, no matter how you hate me, don't look at me, look at what I'm saying. If it is true, why not Let it have effect in your life. How will you sit under such ministry for so many years? At the end, you end up in a tribulation. Why not talk to God concerning your life? Create in me a clean heart, oh Lord. I'll renew a right spirit within me. All the anointing that Jesus is coming soon, coming soon, coming soon. One of these days, it will be a reality. Oh, that is certain. That is certain, certain, certain. Look up one moment. Look up. Look up. Let me drop this. for the next 5 minutes. Let me drop this. Let me tell you why I believe that Christ will come at this our age. The parable in Mark chapter 4. Let me say that and close. I wanted to close, but let me emphasize this thing. Mark chapter 4 from verse 26. He said from verse 26. So is this parable is very deep. I know I've taken a teaching on it several times. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground. That seed was cast in the ground. That is the birth of the church of Jesus Christ. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. But the seed, as he said again, except a corn of wheat dies, it abides alone, correct? When you plant a seed on the ground, the first thing it does is that seed of that corn will die first. That is the mystery of life. It will die first before a new life will come up. So also, unless a man be born again, and you cannot be born again until the old man is dead, before the new man will come up. For the earth, verse 28, bringeth forth fruit of herself. After it dies, it will begin to spring up. The church of Jesus Christ was planted on the day of Pentecost. From AD 300, the church began to die until it went into the dark ages. For about 1,000 years, there was no gospel light anymore. But it began to spring up first, the blade, justification. Martin Luther. Then the ear. Eh? Hallelujah. Sanctification. John Wesley brought it up. They wanted to kill the three works of grace. They killed it totally. The Catholic Church killed it totally. The parable in verse 33 of Matthew 13. That woman is the Catholic Church. The three measures of meal is the three works of grace. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. And corrupted the whole meal. But it began to spring up one after the other. After John Wesley came up with justification, sanctification came up with John Wesley. After Martin Luther came up with justification, John Wesley came up. The next one, the ear, with sanctification. After that, the full corn in the wheat, the gifts were restored. At Azusa Street in 1906. Bringing in this Pentecostal age. But, verse 29, when the fruit is brought forth, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See now, that is why when the blade shot up, it was not yet what was planted. So there cannot be rapture in the days of Martin Luther. There must be harvest time. When the ear sprang up in the days of John Wesley, there could not be rapture. No matter how they say, heaven, Jesus is coming soon, Jesus is coming soon, there is a process of that restoration. And then the full corn, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the gifts that were killed in the church were restored. Yet, it was not yet. When will the rapture take place? Is verse 29. When the fruit is brought forth, when the man that planted that church, that planted that corn of wheat, he is waiting for when that corn will be formed. The harvest is only when you begin to see the same thing that was planted on the day of Pentecost. When he sees the fruit, he knows what he's looking for. A complete church. Therefore, what is the church that Christ is coming to rapture? Is the same church that was launched, and we see in the New Testament. Acts of Apostles, the whole New Testament. Anything less than that will be chaff that help to hold the fruit. The shock is burnt and thrown away. The life travel until church, when we are sure that there will be a rapture, is until we see a group of people that believe this gospel like the apostles believe. That is why he, God, sent the restoration ministry. God sent that servant of God, William Branham, to come with only one ministry. Restore the church back to the apostolic faith. And when you begin to see a group of people that will accept it and follow Christ the apostolic way, then you can confidently say the church in the Bible is what we are seeing now. That is why I say there must be Ananias and Sapphira's judgment again. Then we shall know very soon he will come. Something happened in the church that people feared. When fornicators are comfortable in a church, Christ cannot come for that setting. When hypocrites are enjoying the church, some of them are even behind pulpits in churches. Covetous people. Christ can't come like that. I had, because when I traveled, I was talking with some people. At a church that has been so long, enter message church. And then from there, I took notice. Do you know that most enter-message churches don't have a permanent assistant pastor? You may not know it. Permanent assistant pastor, they don't have it. The biggest enter-message church was Grace and Truth Tabernacle at Ifako. He used to appoint his associate pastor. After 2 years, he would change him. And I was asking, I asked a brother there, why is it difficult for them to appoint? Don't they believe in the fivefold ministry and things like that? One of them said, Brother Moses, God love you. You never experience waiting with the experience. What is their fight? The assistant would like to throw away the pastor so that he will take over. And the pastor is looking at that place as his own kingdom. Because they believe the tithe belongs to the pastor. All the tithes of the church comes to the pastor. Almost all enter message churches. Almost all. Maybe two or three that pick the influence from me. The rest, they don't even come near that area. Church, and then they will tell you they are leading people to where? I went to Abuja last week on Sunday like this. I was preaching and I made a statement, and I will say it anywhere I go. I say it is I say it's only a shameless pastor living on the tithe of the people that will stand at the altar and give testimony of his acquisition. What material acquisition? You know, you people, when we started this church, I didn't have even keke. Now I have 3 jeeps. I have 2 houses. I have this. I say it's shameless that you come and stand somebody depending on the tithe and offering of the people to come and testify that this is what I own now that the ministry has started. I say it's a shame. Shame. Shame, oh! If you are listening to me now, you are shameless. God didn't call you. I'm telling you, it's your stomach that called you. Your stomach is your God. God didn't call you. The testimony of a true man of God is that he can point to souls he has brought to Christ. Souls that have received the Holy Ghost under his ministry. And then listen church, my testimony is that you, apart from the Holy Ghost baptism, is that you came to this church a pauper. Under this ministry, God established you financially. God established you in your village. You will be able to marry, have children. You have your house of your own. You are prospering. Your testimony becomes my testimony because it happened under my ministry. Therefore, your testimony is my testimony. The progress of the people financially and spiritually is the testimony of the pastor. Stand up with your hymn book. Hymn number 198. He is coming soon. And with joy, we welcome his return. That's my testimony. We joy. Everybody now.
In these the closing days of time, what joy that glorious hope I found.
That's
true. Oh, what the truth of life. He shall reign. King of kings and Lord of lords.
He's coming soon.
We shall welcome his return. We welcome his return.
every morning.
He's every night.
He's every night of noon.
We know He's God.
Say it, say it, say it.
He's coming soon.
He's coming soon.
He's coming soon. Yes,
He is. That's our joy.
We joy.
We joy.
Yes, He's coming soon.
He's coming soon.
He's coming soon.
He's coming soon.
We shall be welcome. He's returning.
Hallelujah.
He may be born. He may be night or noon. We know He's coming.
Your hand. Your hand, your hand. Let's worship Him. We joy, worship Him. Worship.